Okay, we're starting at the bottom of Nun Aleph Amavet. If we can, we'll get through two Dapim today since we won't be learning Friday. Okay, Mishnah at the bottom of Nun Aleph Amavet. Hanodir min achalav mutar bekum. If you say I won't eat milk, you're allowed to eat the whey, which is the liquidy part of the milk that, you know, when you make the cheese, it's the liquid part that stays at the top. Rabbi Yossi oser. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it doesn't include whey if you say milk. Minakum mutar b'chalav. If you say, this everyone will agree with, if you say whey, then you're allowed to eat milk, because nobody refers to milk as whey. Abba Shaul omer, hanodir minagvina asur. If you, asur ba, b'melucha utfela. Okay, whether it's salted cheese or non-salted cheese, either which way, it's going to be forbidden. Hanodir min abasar, mutar b'rotev ubikipa. If you say you won't eat meat, you're allowed to eat the gravy of the meat or the kippah. There's a machloket about kippah. If you glance in the Ran, he says it's dak dak shal basar sheyoreh l'shuleak teira, like little pieces that are left over at the bottom of the pot. The Rambam says it's actually spices of the meat. So it's some, right, with which already is much less connected to the meat. If it's little pieces, it actually is part of the meat, but it's little pieces. Rabbi Yehuda oser. Right, the obvious, the Ran is just saying nobody refers to that as meat, even though it is meat, right? The little pieces, nobody really calls that meat. Rabbi Yehuda oser, Rabbi Yehuda says all those things are included, the gravy, the kippah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ma'asev asar aleinu Rabbi Tarfon. It was a case where Rabbi Tarfon forbade bebeitzim shenit bashluimo. Here's your source for eggs in the cholent. Mm-hmm. Okay? The eggs that were cooked with the meat, he forbade. Amru lo, Kain hadavar, yes, it's true that you forbade it, but ematai, they had one caveat. Bizman shiomar basar ze alai. Only if you say, this meat is forbidden to me. Shanodir min hadavar v'nitarev ba'acher, im yesh bo b'no tein tam asur. Here we get to a whole big, okay, you can see, it's a very short daf, but a huge run. Okay, this is a whole big thing. What are we talking about here? This is when we learn about kashrut, no tein tam. If something gives tam to the food, then it's a problem. And that's where we get to shishim. That's the general assumption of what notain tam is. It's a chabas shishim. The real issue the Ron's going to bring up, I'm going to discuss in 1 minute. So what happened here? You said this basar is forbidden to me, and therefore if there's flavor of that basar in the meat, now it's only if you say basar zeh alai. Okay, we're going to see all these distinctions between zeh and not zeh. If you just say basar. So if you say basar zeh alai, and then that basar's flavor mixes in with eggs that it's cooked with, or anything else, obviously, then it's forbidden. So now the big question becomes, if you recall, we've learned about this concept, davar sheyesh lo mitirin. What does that mean? It's something that ultimately will be permitted. Now, a neder, right? So for example, chametz on Pesach. Right, so there's a klal. Now, chametz pesach anyway is in batel, so it's not a great example. But you know, if you could take examples of things that are not forbidden now, but will be that are forbidden now, like tevel. Okay, you can't eat your food, your produce until you are mafresh truman amasra. Now, if that falls into something, so normally we say dine bitul, but if it's going to eventually be mutar, then dine bitul don't apply. So now we have a quandary here. According to this, what does it say? If it has no tain tam, then it's forbidden. But if not, then the meat is batel to the egg and you can eat the egg. So now the whole question is, why? Don't we say that davar sheyesh lo matir afilu be'elef lo batel? So why should it work? That's the Ron's basic question. Okay, and then the Mefreshim asks, this is all different answers given. They're actually difficult answers. They say if it's mim b'she'eno mino, if it's two different things, meat, eggs are not the same thing, different rule. It's complicated answers. The one answer that I wanted to just mention is that in this case, why is it neder davar sheyesh lo matirin? Because, first of all, it's a mitzvah to be matir neder. We've been talking about that right from the beginning, that it's not good to have a neder, and therefore it's you're better off not making a neder, and therefore you should get your neder hutar. However, you could look at this differently because it's not really a davar asur, right? It's not inherently forbidden. There's nothing wrong with it. It's only that you, right? It's not kashrut. It's not shumon amasrot. It's not chametz. It's not real iser. So it's in a different category, and therefore klalim of davar sheyesh l'matirim wouldn't necessarily apply to it. That's one approach to go. Because it's not iser, right? Like, for example, you can eat it, okay? And therefore, the general rules of davar sheyesh l'matirim are not batel, wouldn't necessarily apply. That's one way of possibly looking at it. Not everybody looks at it that way, but that's one way. Okay, continuing on. But that's what the Ron has basically spent his entire daf discussing, the question. He doesn't mention this answer. He talks about this mim b'she'enu mino, mim b'mino. He brings other sugyot that seem to contradict. It's all, yeah.
Can you make a neder that's time limited? We haven't
sure.
talked about it.
Yeah, we did. We saw a neder.
30 days.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Is that true? If you make a neder? No, that's nazirut is 30 days. Yeah. No, we saw, because then we talked about it was a weaker kind of neder. Wasn't it a neder that was 30 days? The Shavuot.
Not we had go to your father until Sukkot.
Right. We saw that. Yeah, there were definitely.
Because I was thinking that something that will be permitted, like if you're saying that I may not eat of this meat, but it's only for a week or whatever. And then
right.
you know, the things that to which it came to time might well be around in a week.
Right. But even if you don't say a time limit, the point is that it's anyway probably time limited by time because you have a mitzvah upon you to matir the neder. Okay. Hano dermina yayin, mutar b'tavshil sheyesh bo tam yayin. If you cook with wine, so you make a cake with wine. So you're allowed to eat it. That's not considered eating wine. But if you said, amar konam yayin zesha anito aim, This wine is forbidden that I will taste. And then nafal l'tavshil, and it fell into something that was cooked. Im yesh bo b'no tein tam, harei zeh asur. Now, there's two ways of looking at what the issue is here. Is it because you said yayin zeh? Okay, and therefore, the Ron dafka says it's sha'ani to'em. Any taste. Because you said the word to'em, so therefore it's b'no tein tam.
It makes more sense to if you cook with wine, it loses its...
Right, it loses its flavor.
No, not
The alcoholic content, right. The alcoholic content, right. It's true. It gives you the flavor, but it would still be no tain tam, though.
Exactly. That explanation fits.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Uriminhu. Now they're going to say there's a contradiction between this Mishnah to a different Mishnah that we're going to see, actually, if we get to it today. Min ha'adashim, if you forbid adashim, asur ba'ashishim. What are ashishim? Okay, I'll give you four quick different interpretations. It's a dish with lentils and flour, it's fried lentils with honey, it's bread mixed with lentils, or it's a waste product of lentils. Okay, so if you say adashim, asur ba'ashishim, Rabbi Yossi matir. Now, if you remember, Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, what did he say? No, Rabbi Yossi said in the very beginning, right, where was it? Right. Hanoder mina chalav mutar bekum, for Rabbi Yossi oser. So why is Rabbi Yossi machmir here and mekel there? Lo kasha, mar ki atre u mar ki atre. Ba'atre de rabbanan karu lechava chava u lekuma kuma. Ba'atre de Rabbi Yossi lekuma nami karu lekuma kuma de chava. Okay, so what's the story? That it just depended where they lived. When they talked about whey, they said the whey of the milk. And because they called it the whey from the milk, then, basically, it was called milk also. So it was included in the term milk. So it has nothing to do with whether he's Machmir or Mekel. It had to do with what they said in the place where he came from. Tanya. Hanoder mina chalav mutar bekum, minakum mutar bechalav. So if you say chalav, you're allowed to eat the whey. With the whey, you're allowed to eat the chalav. This is just another brayta. Mina chalav mutar begvina. Okay, if you say chalav, it doesn't mean you can't eat cheese, right? Milk products. Mina gvina mutar bechalav. So if you say cheese, you're still allowed to eat milk. Mina rotev, mutar b'kipa. Mina kipa, mutar b'rotev. Okay, again, that kipa, whether it's the little meat pieces or it's the spices, is not the same as the rotev. So they work differently. Im amar basar ze alai. If you say this meat is forbidden to me, then asur bo, ubirotvo, ubikipo. Then anything that comes from that meat is going to be forbidden. Hanoder mina yayin, mutar b'tavshil sheyesh bo tam yayin. Okay, if you forbid wine, then you're allowed to eat a tavshil that has the flavor of wine. Okay, this is just regular wine, right? This isn't either yayin zeh or yayin shani to'em, right? Amar konam yayin zeh shani to'em, v'nafal l'tocha tavshil, im yesh bo tam yayin harei zeh asur. Okay, and that matches what we saw in the Mishnah.
Why did they bring this braita?
First of all, it gave a few different examples that weren't brought in our Mishnah. I think that's why. Some of it's repetitive and some of it's different, like the gvina and the chalav.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's just adding different things. And sometimes they just bring... Yeah.
Well, also the bread tenders sound supportive, just overall, is what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, now that I think about it, I think I got this. But I think that the last part is actually not the bright tender. I think it's a quote from the Mishnah word for word. Yes. The last thing, I'm sorry, that last line, Hanoder Menayayin, is an actual quote of our Mishnah. The Brayta is done. It's a quote from our Mishnah, and nobody really knows what it's doing there. Some people say it's just a mistake. It doesn't belong there. Some people say that it actually should be the beginning of the next Mishnah, and it shouldn't appear at the end of our Mishnah. So, yeah, it's actually, thank you for asking. It reminded me. So that part is actually the Mishnah itself, and nobody really knows what it's doing here. Okay, Hanoder Mina Anavim Mutar B'Yayin. If you say, I won't eat grapes, you're allowed to eat wine, to drink wine. Mina Zeitim, okay, what's going to be obvious here? They're going to talk about Shemen Zayit, right? Mutar B'Shemen. Okay, just because you said olives doesn't mean you can't eat olive oil. Amar Konam Zeitim Anavim Elu She'eni To'em Asur B'Hem U'Bayotze B'Hem. Okay, if you say the Zeitim and Anavim, these Zeitim and Anavim, right? Remember Zeitim Elu? Then you're forbidden to them and anything that comes out of them. So if you say these olives, what's going to be the issue? Any olive oil that comes from those particular olives is going to be a problem. Now again, what's the lashon here? Elu and she'eni to'em. So now the Gemara is going to ask, by Rami Bar Chama, Rami Bar Chama is going to ask this question. Elu dafka or she'eni to'em dafka? Kind of like we saw that machloket before, this is his question, right? Which is the thing that's motivating us to say that this is all going to be us, or is it because it says Elu, or is it because it says She'eni To'em? So now the Gemara is going to say, what kind of a question? Isalkadaz Elu Dafka, if it was only Elu and not She'eni To'em, then She'eni To'em Lamali. Right? Then you wouldn't need She'eni To'em, so it must be that you need She'eni To'em. Otherwise, the Mishnah would have just said Elu. So then they say, no. You don't necessarily need to say that, in which case, I'm just showing you, it's a little confusing here, we're still going to have a question, okay, because it was trying to kind of knock down the question. So now what are the answer? Ha kamashmalan de'af agav she'amar she'eni to'em, e de'amar elu mitzar ve'i lo lo. You could still say that even if he says she'eni to'em, it still might matter whether you say elu or not elu. In other words, the fact that both are mentioned doesn't necessarily show, it could still mean that. And as one way of saying it was, oh, if you just didn't have the words Eni To'em, you could have just said Elu, and that would have obviously been enough. And then they say, no, no. They want to teach you that even if you said She'eni To'em, you might still need the word Elu to make this actually usher, right? To say that if these grapes are forbidden, then you can't have the wine that comes from them. So basically, they don't know. So now they're going to have a few attempts to answer it. Amar Rava. In other words, it could go either way at this point. Which is the word that's the most important here, the one that's making it decisive here? Amar Rav, Tashma, let's learn from here. Konam perota elu alai, konam heim lefi. Okay, we saw this already. If you say, these perot will be forbidden to me, or they will not go into my mouth, asur b'chilu feihen u'b'gidu lehen. Remember, if you, or may mirror it, right, you change it into something else, or you grow it, right, you use the seeds to grow something else. But what doesn't it say here? Juice that comes out of it, right? So habiyotse mehen must be mutar. Okay, since it says those things are usher, and it doesn't mention our issue, it must mean our issue is mutar. And therefore, what do you see here? Konam perot elu alai. This is using the word alai. So alai must not be the, right? According to this, if you just say, perot elu, if you just say these fruits, then biyotse behem would be mutar. And therefore, in our Mishnah, it must be She'eni To'em, is the Machriya. So now they say, no, hu adin da afilu biyotze mehen asur. V'ha adif alei lashmuina d'chilu fehen ki gidu lehen dami. Just because it says this and doesn't mention that, it could be that that's what the Mishnah wanted to discuss. You know, they wanted to mention, what's also they were saying, well, the more so those are asur. In other words,
Kavachomer,
those are asur. Or maybe, right, if those are usher, then obviously the juices that come directly from it, right? If the chilufehen, which isn't even the object itself, is going to be forbidden, then obviously anything that comes from it will be. Okay, so let's attempt from the second part of that same source that we saw. Tashma. Let's learn from here. She'eni ochel v'she'eni to'em. What if you use the lashon there with the chilufehen and the gidulehen? Mutar b'chilufehen u'b'gidulehen. Ha ha yotze mehen asur. What did we say? It's all kavachomer, right? So if that's mutar, well, then the next step up will be asur, right? So things that come from them would probably be asur. And then what do you see here? She'eni to'em, right, is asur. And that's the word that's machriya. So now what do they say? No, I did lo nasiv bereisha yotze mehen, lo nasiv nami b'seifa yotze mehen. No, since it already didn't deal with the yotze mehen and the reisha, because there was no reason to say it, right? It was obvious. They just didn't bring up the yotze mehen and the seifa. It doesn't mean you can infer something from there about the yotze mehen. Okay, next attempt. Tashma, Amar b'Yehuda. Here's our Mishnah. Ma'asev asar b'tarfon alai b'tzim shenit bashlu imo. Amrulo ematai b'zman sha'amar basar ze alai. Shanoder min adavar v'nitarev ba'achir v'yosh b'benotin tam harei ze asur. So now what do you see here? That elu means that here it's talking about tam that comes out of the object. It would be the same as juice that comes out of the object, right? So if tam is asur because you said alai, then also juice would be asur. So now the Gemara says, okay, so what do you see here? Elu means it's going to be forbidden. So now the Gemara says kacha. Be'elu, fine. So be'elu lo kame ba'elan, didafkehu. Fine. So now we've established that if you say the word elu, it's clear that yotze mehen is going to be asur. But ki me ba'elan, but now the question is going to be, what if you only say b'she'eni to'em dafka? Okay? Olav dafka. Okay? What if you said just she'eni to'em without the word elu? So you understand, they're kind of saying, well, you've half answered our question. We see that alai, that zeh, right, zeh alai would be asur. But what if you said she'eni to'em? So tashma, let's learn it from here. Dag dagim she'eni to'em. Remember that one, the dag dagim? Asur bahem ben gdolim ben ktanim ben chayim ben bevushalim. Umutar b'tarit trufa ubetzir. What do you see? Mutar b'tzir. And you said she'eni to'em. The tzir is the brine, right? The stuff that comes out of it. So here you see, oh, if you say she'eni to'em by itself, it's not asur. Amarava, oh no, you can't learn from here. Why? Ukvar yatsa mehen. There's a difference between if you say, this fish is forbidden to me, and then before that, already the brine had come out of the fish, then it's not going to be usher. That's what that mishnah is talking about. But our case is when you say, this fish is forbidden to me, and then later the brine comes out of it. So there's a difference in time, right? In other words, it's once you say this fish is usher to you, then anything that comes out of it will be forbidden, right? Or not this fish. You say, you know, this fish she'eni to'em, that I will not taste. So then anything that comes out of that fish is going to be forbidden. But anything that came out of the fish before you made your comment will be mutar. So in the end, now it's not necessarily the case that's true. They were just saying it could possibly be, and therefore you can't learn from the source anything. So in the end, no conclusion. Okay, moving on. Hanodir minat tamarim, mutar bidvash. If you say I won't eat dates, you're allowed to eat, bidvash tamarim, right? You're allowed to eat silan, okay? This is interesting, okay? Because silan is honey from dates, and it's a big nafkamina whether you say it in English or in Hebrew, because we're going to see that some of the machloket about this dvash tamarim, right now we see it's mutar, but we're going to see it's a machloket, and the ones who say it's asur say because tamarim is in the name. Now, when you say the word silan, there's no tamarim in the name. So it would be totally different. So it's just interesting to think about these things.
Silan a new name?
Is silan a new name?
Name?
I don't know. I have no idea where it came from. But what do we say? Nidarim alachar b'nei adam. So if you're talking nowadays, if you're speaking in English, it would be silan. Now, in Hebrew, the truth is we also say silan now. So we don't even call it tvash tamarim for the most part. I don't know if people still call it tvash tamarim. But anyway, right, you would say the same thing even in Hebrew nowadays. So hanodir min ha'tamarim mutar b'dvash tamarim, because it doesn't look like tamarim. If you didn't know it came from tamarim, you would have no idea. It would be honey. You call that honey, not dates. But yet it has the name dvash tamarim as opposed to dvash tamarim. Misitvaniyot mutar b'chometz sitvaniyot. Sitvaniyot are these unripe grapes. Okay, that they leave them, according to Rashi, they leave it in the kerem all throughout the stav, and that's what they're called sitvanit. And they're not good for use for wine. The only thing people make from them is vinegar. But despite that, even though the real use is for vinegar, if you say misitvaniot, you're mutar b'chometz sitvaniot. Okay, you can have the chometz that they make from these sitvaniot. That's Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira omer, kol sheshem toladeto kruya alav, here we have it, if the tolada, what comes out of it, is called by its name, v'noder himenu, and you were noder by its name, asur. Okay, so tamarim would be asur b'tvashmim, sitvani would be asur b'chometz, sitvaniot. Asur b'yotze himenu, sorry. V'chachamim mitirim. Okay, now, what do you mean chachamim mitirim? Isn't that what Tanakama said? Right? So that's exactly the Gemara's question. The Gemara starts out, Chachamim hainu tanakama. So the first said it was mutar b'dvash merim, and right, it was mutar b'chomet sitvaniyot. Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera says it's asur, both of those, and then it says chachamim or mitirim. So aren't they the same as tanakama? What are they adding? So, what do they say? No, chachamim is actually a third opinion, and this is what he means. Ika benayu hada detanya klal ze amar b'shim ben Elazar. Chachamim match the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that appears in this Mishnah, in this Braita. What does it say? Kol shedarko le'echol, v'derech hayotzi mimenu le'echol, kegon tmarim u'dvash tmarim. Now you're going to see why they brought these two specific cases. If generally people eat dates, and they generally eat dvash that comes from dates, silan, then nadar bo asur b'yotze mimenu. Okay, then, right, if both items are generally edible and people eat them, then basically if you're nodera one, it's going to include, right, you're nodera, the tamarim, it's going to include even what comes out of it. But kol she'ein darko le'echol, v'derech hayotze mimenu le'echol, but like the sitvanit, if generally you don't eat the sitvanit, but you do eat the chometz, now he's going to say the obvious opinion that wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah, or at least we thought it wasn't mentioned. Now we're going to see this is actually what Chachamim meant when they said mitirim. So what's going to be the answer? Ein asur ela b'yotze mimenu. Shelo nitkaven zeh ela liyotze mimenu. If you say sitvanit, what did you obviously mean? You didn't mean the sitvanit. Oh, nobody eats those. You must have meant the chometz that comes from it. So when he was matir, what was he matir? He was matir to eat the sitvanit. That's what Chachamim mitirim refers to. Okay? So what? This is just an interesting methodological thing. They have something in the Mishnah that doesn't make sense, so they find a Tanaitic opinion that exists somewhere else, and they say that must match, that must be what he meant. Even though the Lashon of Chachamim Mitirim is so unclear what it's referring to, it could be Matir, you know, any one of possible things, but that's what they conclude. Because it's a way, they don't like to make up new opinions. They'd rather attach it with an opinion that already exists. That's an approach. Okay, new Mishnah. Hanoder min hayayin. Now this is going to be, what do you mean when you say certain terms? Like what's the general, we saw this before, like min hakavush was pickled vegetables. Right? Here we're going to have the same kind of thing, but with objects. Right? Not like a category of pickled, but hanoder min hayayin. So if you say I'm not going to eat wine, and drink wine, mutar b'yein tapuchim. That's such a rare type of wine coming from apples, so it's mutar. Min hashemen, mutar b'shemen shumshumim. Okay, you're allowed to eat sesame oil, because that's not the general oil, right? What's the general oil? Olive oil. We're going to see in the Mishnah, though, maybe not necessarily. Min advash, mutar b'dvash tamarim, right? Because what's dvash generally? From dvorim. Min achometz, mutar b'chometz sitvaniyot. Okay, if you say chometz, chometz sitvaniyot is a very rare type of chometz. It's not the type of vinegar people generally use, so therefore you mutar. Min akrishin, if you do... You say from leeks, mutar b'kaflutot, which is some rare breed of leeks, apparently. It's not so clear what this is, but it seems like it's some strain of leeks that nobody calls leeks, basically. Min hayerek, if you say yirakot, what do you mean? Mutar b'yirakot ha-sadeh shehu shem levai. Okay, there's two types of vegetables we're going to talk about. There's vegetables that grow, regular vegetables that you planted, and then there's vegetables that grow wild. So generally speaking, when you talk about vegetables, you're not talking about vegetables that you found in the wild. So therefore, wild vegetables you'd be allowed to eat. Ashem levai, right? It's not called yirakot, it's called yirakot hasadeh. It has a name that goes with it. Okay? And that's yirakot hasadeh. And therefore, if you wanted to answer yirakot hasadeh, you would have said yirakot hasadeh. Okay, but we're going to see.
The difference between this and the earlier cases is that this, you can have a wild tomato or a cultivated tomato, and they're both the same kind of tomato, as opposed to different types of oil and vinegars.
Okay.
So
you're saying this could be the same exact item. Right, I was wondering when they talk about wild, it really just depends on how it grew, or were these somehow a different type of vegetable because they grew wild? But I guess it really is the same thing. Yeah, this one's, I think, the more difficult one to explain because, first of all, when you go buy vegetables, you don't necessarily know did they grow wild or not, or it's difficult. We're going to see also in the Shemitah year, it's going to be the opposite.
Mainstream. It's not like an unusual product.
Right, I agree with you, right. It's not an unusual product, and that's why the last one is a little bit, I find it a little harder to understand. But again, you have to understand their times. What they're saying is everybody called these things wild fruits, wild vegetables. Mm-hmm. Nobody called them vegetables. That's why I find it hard, because in our, I think in their society, it must have been much clearer what grew wild and what didn't. Okay, look, with Shemitah, right, it's going to be the flip, because in the Shemitah year, you're not allowed to plant any vegetables, and the only vegetables you're allowed to eat are called tzvichim, right?
Look.
It went off? So you can do your beads.
Look,
Ima,
I need to make.
Okay, so
go. No.
Okay, so now we have...
Ima, bacon.
Sure. Now we're going to have... One second. Okay. Tanya. So now we're starting the Gemara here. The Gemara is going to bring a brighta. Hanoderman Hashem in Be'eretz Yisrael. Now we're going to see, it depends where you live. Now remember, the Mishnah was written in Eretz Yisrael. So Be'eretz Yisrael, Mutar B'Shem and Shum Shemim, Asur B'Shem and Zayin, because that's what they had in Israel. Right? We have tons of olive trees here. Ube Bavel, Asur B'Shem and Shum Shemim. Okay, here you have it. They were Chinese, right? They had Chinese influences? No, I don't know. Anyway, in Bavel, they ate sesame oil. Umutar B'Shem and Zayin. Makom shemistapkim mizeh umizeh. What about a place where they eat both olive oil and sesame oil? Asur bezeh ubezeh. Right? Then you're forbidden to both. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Pshita, obviously. Why are you telling us that? So the answer, lo tzricha deruba minchad mistapkin. Right? They were telling you a case when most of the people, let's say most people here use olive oil, more so than sesame oil. But some people do use sesame oil. So ma'u detame is a bataruba. You might have thought, let's follow the rove. Kamash malan safek isura lechumra. That since we're talking about a neder, safek isura is lechumra. Okay, right? Neder's midoraita, and therefore we're going to go lechumra. Hanodir min ayerek bishar shnei shavua asur biyirakot hagina umutar biyirakot hasadeh. Right? If you're nodir from vegetables during the years of the Shemitah cycle, the regular years, then asur biyirakot hagina. So if you do it during the non-Shemitah years, like I mentioned before, then it's the Yerakot HaGinah that are the problem, and you obviously weren't referring to the wild ones. Ubashvi'it, it's exactly the flip. Asur b'Yerakot HaSadeh, umutar b'Yerakot HaGinah. Okay, but Amar Rabbi Abba, umishumar b'Chanina ben Gamliel, lo shanu elav makom she'em mikirim em mivim yerek michutz la'aretz. Ava makom she'mivim yerek michutz la'aretz, then asur. Right? Because if they bring outside fruits, well, then there'll be fruits from the regular vegetables, and then you're calling them vegetables, when really, right, you're not necessarily referring only to the wild stuff. So now they're going to say, this is based on a machloket tana'im, whether or not you can bring fruits from chutz la'aretz. Now, this is not a machloket based on Shemitah or non-Shemitah, just in general. Can you bring vegetables from chutz la'aretz? Interesting machloket. Ein mivim yerek min chutz la'aretz. Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel omer mivim yerek min chutz la'aretz. My time, I demand amar ein mivim. What's the reason why you can't bring? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah mishum gush. What are we worried about? It's going to come with some afar. What's wrong with the afar? We've learned in the past that the afar of chutz la'aretz is metame. We were goes there because they claim that the avodah kochavim aren't careful about their graves, and any dirt could have bones mixed in with it and could have tuma, and therefore they would goes there. They're all afar from chutz la'aretz is tame. And therefore, they're worried that if you bring vegetables, it'll come with hafar, and then you'll be metame the stuff. You'll bring tuma. Okay, last mission of the perek. Min hakruv, asur b'ispargus. This is not asparagus. Okay, it's apparently some type of, again, another strain of cabbage. So if you say kruv, you're also asur b'ispargus. Min ha'ispargus, mutar b'kruv. But then you'll be mutar b'kruv because the ispargus is a particular type, right? But it's not any kruv. Min ha'grisin. Asur b'mikpeh. If you say from the barley, then it's asur in, I forgot what the makpeh is, what? The grits that they make from it. Rabbi Yossi matir min ha'mikpeh. I'm sorry, Rabbi Yossi matir, he says it's fine. It's not asur b'mikpeh, because when you say grisin, you're not talking about the grits. Min ha'mikpeh asur b'grisin. Okay, if you say from the grits, then it is asur in the from the grisin. Min ha'mikpeh asur b'shum. Okay, if you say from the mikpeh, it's also a sorb shum, because the shum is, it's mainly made from se'orim and shum. V'Rabbi Yossi matir min ha'shum. Okay, he says, no, obviously you can eat shum. Nobody was referring to that. Mutar, V'Rabbi Yossi matir, period. Okay, from the, it does mean min ha'shum, but anyway, it's matir b'shum. And then min ha'shum, if you say from garlic, mutar b'mikpeh. You didn't obviously mean the grits. Mina adashim asur vashishim. This is what we saw before. If you say the adashim, then the ashishim. Rabbi Yossi matir. Mina ashishim mutar ba'adashim, because it's a type of, right? It's a type of adashim. You obviously didn't mean regular adashim if you said ashishim. Chita chitin sha'ani to'em asur bahen, ben kemach ben hapat. If you say chita or chitin sha'ani to'em, right, that I'm not going to eat, then it's asur whether it's kemach or whether it's pat. It doesn't matter what form the chita is. Gris grisin sha'ani to'em asur bahen ben chayim ben mevushalim. If you say gris or grisin, then it's whether they're raw or whether they're cooked. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, konam gris o chita shani to'em mutar l'chos chayim. If you say, I will not eat this gris or this chita, then you're allowed to chew it. Like they would, it's like a pitzuchim kind of thing. They would chew the seeds. So that's not what it means when you're not going to eat it. That doesn't mean chewing it. Chewing it is okay. Tanya, Braita. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, chita shani toem asur le'efot umutar lachus, chitim shani toem, but if you say chitim in the plural, asur lachus, okay? I guess you would chew a bunch of them at a time. So therefore, if you said chitim, then it would include the chewing. Umutar le'efot. And you wouldn't use that terminology. You would say wheat singular if you were talking about baking. Chita chitim shani toem, if you said both though, asur ben lachus ben le'efot, Gris sha'ani to'em asur levashel mutar lachus. Again, if you say it in singular, it's mutar lachus. Grisin sha'ani to'em asur lachus and mutar levashel. And likewise, grisin sha'ani to'em asur ben levashel ben lachus. Hadron alach and adermana mabushal. Tomorrow we'll do Friday's daf. Friday we will not be gone.